Boys and girls, ladies and gents, welcome to another episode of Clutch Conversations. It's your boy, Mike. We back at you one more again, live on another Thursday night, back in the house on the regular time, man. Looking forward to the show. Going to have a blast on the cast tonight. But first and foremost, shout out to my lovely wife, Takar. Y'all make sure y'all show us some love in the comments. Appreciate everything you do. Appreciate you. But y'all don't stop there, though. Y'all make sure y'all show the channel some love as well. Hit that like button. If you haven't already subscribed, hit that subscribe button. And if you haven't, hook smash that notification bell yet. Make sure you hook smash that notification bell so you can get notifications each and every time we drop a video. Shout out to the audio only gang as well. Audio recordings of Clutch Conversations are available on all major podcasting platforms. That's Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more. So when you're checking us out on your favorite podcast platform, please be sure to follow, rate, and review. Really helps us out. We appreciate the feedback and we appreciate the support. Speaking of support, if you're involved in this reptile hobby in any shape, form, or fashion, make sure you're supporting both USARC and USARC Florida. The links for both organizations are in the description of this video. If you're not a member, definitely go grab your membership. If you're able to donate, please donate what you can. Be sure to spread the word about both these organizations to help protect our rights as reptile keepers. So tell a friend. Didn't realize I didn't even have a camera on, man. I'm tripping tonight, but it's still, y'all heard the good word, so we good. We're going to show some love to the sponsors real quick, and then we'll be right back.
Big dreams start in small towns. Small Town Exotics is a family-ran business that specializes in high-quality ball python morphs, western hognoses, and select leopard geckos. They are proud members of USARC, USARC Florida, and the Orient Society. Stay connected with Small Town Exotics on YouTube, Instagram, and Facebook. Witness their journey as they grow their business and showcase their animals to the world. Thank you, Small Town Exotics, for sponsoring the show.
Art comes in many forms. At Armies Angels, it comes to life.
Shout out to the sponsors. Thank you, Shane. Thank you, Justin. Appreciate all the support. Let's see what we got in the chat tonight. Rock, what's good? Homie, appreciate you coming out. Appreciate the support. Arvin, what's up? Game of Odds in the building. Appreciate you coming out. Appreciate the support. Homie T Keys, what's good, bro? Appreciate you coming out. Appreciate the support. But y'all make sure y'all check out Hair Down Friday tomorrow. You know what it is. Appreciate it, homie. Frank, what's good? Locked and loaded ball pythons. Appreciate you coming out. Appreciate the support. The big homie Wiz in the building again. What's good, homie? Appreciate the support, man. Shout out to the Wiz Tang clan. Y'all make sure y'all go check him out on the Patreon. Appreciate you coming out, fam. The Sultan of Support himself, the homie Bosa, what's good? Appreciate you coming out. Pressure P in the building, what's good, homie? Appreciate you coming out. Clutch Conversations Alarm, Matt, what's good? KMB Reptiles, appreciate you coming out, brother. Blakers Pythons, what's good? Appreciate you coming out, fam. Dundada, what's good, homie? Appreciate you coming out. Jason, what's up? Appreciate you coming out. Appreciate the support. Tom, was good? Low Life Exotics, appreciate you coming out. Appreciate it, fam. See who else we got. Justin Campbell in the building, appreciate you coming out. Appreciate the support. And then we got Amy from Swanky Balls, appreciate you coming out. Appreciate the support. We're going to stop it right there. We're going to keep the intro. Then we'll be right back with the show.
Baby, baby, won't you listen to me? I got that flavor. I know you're dying to feed. I ain't no dancer. Just got some hip in my feet. Now throw your hands up. You bring the lighter, I got the fuse. You make a fire, I'll add the fuel. Follow my lead, just watch your shoes. Gotta turn the heat up, get this cool.
Who you know who looking like this for real? Who you know who looking like this? Who you know who looking like this for real? Who you know who looking like this? Who you know who looking like this for real? Who you know who looking like this? Who you know who looking like this for real? Who you know who looking like this?
Episode 95, Jersey Guys Balls. What's up, bro? How's it going?
What's up, man? How you doing, buddy?
Good. So that was a plan, man. I purposely had the camera off because I knew nobody wanted to see me. They just wanted to see you.
You started talking and it was like, I guess it was your logo. And I was like, nah, I don't think that's what's supposed to be happening right now.
Yeah, a little technical difficulties, user error. I didn't even realize that. I looked down, I was like, oh snap.
I was looking through, I thought like maybe I just couldn't see it since I was in the back room or whatever, so I was looking through comments. I'm like, no one's saying anything, so I'll just send them a message.
Yeah, I saw your message and Takara messaged me too. She's like, turn your camera on, bro. Yeah, it's a good way to start it off with a nice little ad, man. So appreciate you coming to the show, man. Been looking forward to it.
Way past due.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
How's it going, man?
How's your day going?
Good. Staying busy. Season's just getting kicked off, so it's kind of nonstop. And I still got the babies from last year. Some of them still trying to sell. Some, most of them were keeping back. But it's never ending, man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's always something to be done. Always something to be done. So in terms of, like, season cadence, is that typical for you, like, to be getting started right now? I know we were talking a little bit about it before.
Yeah. So this is only our like third season and second bigger season. Like the first year we did 19 clutches. That was in 2 years ago. Last year we did 33 clutches. This year we should do way more than that. But we have so many first time females since we got in like during COVID. It's like perfect timing for us with all our younger females that we bought as hatchlings getting up to size. So I don't know when their schedule is. So I'm just gonna start. I'll breed them. I bred most of them already, and I'll just track their follicles over the next couple months. If they don't grow, I'll try again in the spring and see what happens.
But, gotcha. So you mentioned y'all got in during COVID. We got in during COVID as well.
Right.
Was your story like kind of similar to everyone else's? You kind of had some free time and you decided to get into it?
Yeah, it's pretty similar. So I was in I graduated high school in 2018, graduated college 2022. But in high school, I was always into snakes and ball pythons and stuff. I saw a super pastel freeway on Instagram. I was like, oh my God, that's the coolest shit. But then I kind of followed along. I wasn't really allowed to have snakes back then. Then I went away to college and then COVID hit. So I came back home. I was like, there's nothing to do. So I'm just going to get a snake. I got that first one. And little did I know, when I first got it, I was pretty much scared of it. I was scared to death of it. I'd wear like my thickest sweatshirt, have it over my sweatshirt arm just to make sure, like if it bit me, it wouldn't hurt. It was wild. It's crazy how far things have come in like 3 years. But got that first one, and then a couple months later, after learning how to take care of them and doing a little bit of research, me and my dad decided to start investing more into and buying some quality animals.
Nice. So that first pickup, what was it?
So that was a super pastel leopard doublehead hypopied female.
Oh, and, nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
So in high school, I took biology, and my biology teacher had snakes too. and he would bring some into class and whatever. And he would talk about pies. So this is like 2014. Like,
okay.
I mean, pies were more fresh than they are now. And he would come in and be like, these pies are going for like $20,000. So when I'm getting in COVID, I'm like, I need a pie. Or someone that's going to make a pie. So I ended up getting that girl. And then I did research before. I was like, I know I need a female first. If I'm going to get one, even as a pet, I'll just get a female. But yeah, it was super fast, a leopard double head hypo pie. We still have her. We're breeding her this year.
Nice, nice. What you putting to her?
So last year we put a ultramel hypo pie to her. But the whole clutch went bad. So we're going to try that same pairing, try to hit some combo hypo pies, pet ultramel.
Gotcha. Hit ultramel.
I don't mind pets though on ultramel. I think it kind of looks cool. So
yeah, it pops in ultramel.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So acquisition of like some of those early animals, what did that process look like for you? Like, were you project minded outside of pod? Or?
Yeah, sort of. The next set of snakes we ended up getting were two females. They were double head DG clowns, and it was during COVID. So I was following along with all of like the industry, like Miguel and Justin. Everybody was falling in love with the DG clowns, and going on Morph Market, there was no double heads for sale whatsoever. No double heads, no visuals, nothing for DG clowns. So I kind of went up to my dad. I was like, I don't know about this. What do you think? And then after seeing there's such a limited availability, I was like, we should definitely invest in this. There's something to it. Just because if there's none, there was none sold on Morph Market. So I was like, all right, so there isn't many in the world. Like, we can get into it and be like, in the beginning steps of DG clown. Little I know, there's probably already like DG hypo clowns by then, but you don't know that when you're coming into the industry.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
And so how quickly did y'all start accumulating like a bunch of snakes?
Yeah, pretty quickly. I got that first snake probably in April of 2020. And by the time April of 2021 came around, we probably had, I don't know, probably 50.
Yep. Sounds about right.
And then by the time April 2022 came around, we're probably at like 150. And now we're at like 350, including hatching.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But it's just a learning process, really.
So was Jersey Guys Balls the first name right out of the gate?
Yeah, so it was the first name. We started it officially in 2021, I think. And, dude, it was such a process to think of a name. I couldn't think of a name for anything. And I was like, we just need to come up with a name that, like, if someone shuts their eyes, they'll know exactly who we are, where we're from. Like, they could kind of picture us. So we just came up with Jersey Guys Balls. And we went to a bunch of the local shows and kind of compared names. And there was, like, Kicks Balls and Unbelievable Balls and stuff like that. So I'm like, all right, well, we could make it a little bit funny. So we just did Jersey Guys Balls.
Nice, nice. But, so how is the like reptile community like locally there? Did you link up with a lot of people early on? Or?
Yeah, so actually not early on. We're actually linking up with more people now than we did early on. Early on, I guess, I don't know why, we had a weird mindset. Like, we're trying to hang out with all the big guys like Miguel and Justin, and just trying to be bigger in the industry than we actually were. Now we're starting to become more integrated in the local community. But there's a bunch of people up in New Jersey and Maryland. Like, Ozzy's in Maryland. He's a big guy. And Easter PA has a bunch of people as well.
Gotcha. Yeah. So you said y'all were trying to hang out with, like, Miguel and Justin. And
yeah.
Like, what was that process like? Like, what'd y'all do?
We just went to all the big shows, try to follow people around so they talk to us.
Gotcha.
But I don't know. It's not really about that. I think everybody in the community loves everybody in the community. I don't honestly, now, like, being in it for a couple of years, like, I don't really see it as being like a bigger and then smaller side of the community. I think it's just pretty much one big community now.
Yeah, like, we're all doing the same thing, breeding snakes.
Yeah, exactly.
Some people have been doing it longer, some people do it on a larger scale, mostly everyone that I talked to, in fact, everyone that I've talked to personally has been like real relatable down to earth.
Exactly. We're all like they understand that. We're 3 years in. At one point, they were 3 years in as well, just learning everything about the community. And, I mean, they got lucky enough to be in it 30 years later, 20 years later. I think they're just trying to help everybody else trying to find that path as well.
For sure, for sure. And so, yeah, I got 350 animals now. Project-wise, what's that looking for you now in terms of, like, your main projects right now?
Yes, I mean, we have a little bit of everything, I really say. I don't think we have a lot of anything. There's certain projects where we're really pushing more, pushing harder, that we care about more in, like, a market right now. We're more worried about breeding those animals. I would say, like, that's mostly just, like, the double visuals, triple visuals, if they relate to, like, sunset or monsoon. We have a lot of clown stuff, but unless it's, like, getting the codoms into clown, I'm not really pushing the clown project on its own. I'd rather get the codoms into it and try to get the clown into the other recessives like monsoon and sunset and stuff like that.
Nice, nice. So I didn't know you were working monsoon.
What
you got going to that project?
So we have a couple females going this year. I think we have 3 double head monsoon clowns, 2 double head monsoon desert ghosts, and then if we get lucky, our first year breeding, we hit a bunch of double head sunset monsoons. So if we get lucky later in the spring, hopefully we get a clutch or two from them. Hopefully hit the double.
Okay. Nice. Yeah, monsoon stuff is nice. I want to see it with like some different like color changing morphs and stuff like that too.
Yeah, so, I think that's what's gonna do it for the monsoon. I think until we find something that's really gonna affect that pattern. I think the DG monsoon is going to look super cool. DG Exanthic monsoon is going to be sick.
Oh, yeah, nuts.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm sure we'll find the codom that really changes up that pattern eventually. It's just about finding it.
Yeah, it's super strong. It's super strong. Yeah. But I really like it. But definitely, yeah, like I think – I can't remember who it was, but somebody said that the DG Exanthic monsoon would look like TV static almost.
Yeah, it will. It's going to look awesome. And honestly, that might be a combo that looks really good with pastel as well, just getting a little bit whiter. But we'll see. All in time. I'm sure Justin will hit it next year.
What do you mean next year? It's probably like breeding right now.
Yeah, you got eggs already.
Yeah, that's nuts, man. So how many – you said you got a lot more clutches because you said, 19 at first and, 33, expecting a lot more this year. So how many are you expecting?
So this year I would say we have 110-ish adult females. Mm. But out of that 110, 65 to 70 of them are first-time females that are just coming up to, the 1,400, 1,500-gram range. So, I mean, if you were to take 60% of that, it would be, 65 clutches. I honestly think with the first-timers, it'll be a little bit less than that. So, it's going to be, 45, 50%. So, I'm expecting, 55 to 60 clutches.
That's still a lot of animals.
Yeah. So, we had 33 this year, and I was like, this is a lot of work. We have to figure something out. But, I mean, we moved into this new building, so it kind of made stuff so much more efficient where – it's really not that much. The only thing that takes a lot of work is the rats, and we have a guy cleaning all our rats right now, so we're in a good spot with Tommy.
Oh, nice, nice. Yeah, the rats take a lot of work. It's real work too.
Oh yeah, yeah. Before before we hired that out, the snakes maybe take 10 hours a week of work. The rats take at least 20 hours a week every week. It's completely wild that we spend double the time with the rats than we do focusing on the actual reptiles, but it is, right. You have to.
You got to, man. Choice. Especially with that many animals.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It would be insane to buy. I don't think we could find someone that would be able to supply us.
Yeah. Here in Florida, we got I know locally, I got a guy who kind of serves as a hub for rodent pickups. He didn't really breed them himself, but he orders from a lot of the bigger folks around here, and he gets wholesale prices, and he's able to pass those savings on to the customer. And I still get some stuff from him. I get rat fuzzies, rat pups, and stuff like that for animals that I'm going to be selling.
Yeah.
But for my personal stuff, I feed ASFs. And so we breed our own. And I mean, that takes a lot of work.
That's what we're breeding a lot of too. We're up until, I guess, this past summer, we were doing pretty much all rats and limited ASFs. Now we're completely ASF. Okay. Unless the snake won't take an ASF. We have a bunch of snakes that won't take an ASF. They'll only eat it right.
Gotcha. So how long have you been doing only ASFs?
I would say like 6 months.
Have you noticed any differences?
So a lot of people say that the snakes grow faster with the ASFs. I wouldn't say that. I would just say they take more often. So that's what causes them to grow faster. So I think like even a good rat eater, they'll skip a couple of weeks here and then. With the ASF, even if the snake's in shed, that snake is eating the ASF. But that's the best part about the ASFs, really. So when we bring ASFs, our rats are like a mile down the road at our warehouse. When I bring the ASFs here, pretty much all of them get eaten. I don't have to bring ASFs back to the rat room. So that's like another time-saving thing. But ASFs are the way to go. They breed easier. Yeah. They eat less. It's so much easier.
Yeah, I'm definitely team ASF. Yeah. And anecdotally, I feel like my snakes grow faster. I wish I had like some data to support it.
Yeah,
it was hard for me, like being like a data-driven type person. Right. Like they 100% for sure.
Yeah.
I didn't like really track it like to the T. Compare the two and like kind of like all that stuff that you need to say for sure.
Yeah. But
I feel like they grow faster. They definitely grow better in my opinion. Like just
I think there's something to it for sure. I know Will Wilmore is.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure he's raised like a sister to sister, one on rats, one on ASFs, and he says ASFs blows the rats out of the water. But I just got to do it myself to prove it myself.
Yeah, like I got some animals that put on like some quick weight in my opinion.
Yeah,
it's not like I'm like power feeding them or nothing like that. Yeah. Like I'm giving them ASFs, feeding them on like a normal schedule, and like they don't feel like squishy or nothing like that.
Yeah.
So they got good body comp.
That's
ASF to the core.
That's another thing. Like we feed all our males twice a week. And before we switched over, we're doing just a rat pup on Monday, a rat pup on Thursday. And I don't call that power feeding. Like it would be 1,000-gram male just having two rat pups a week.
Smaller meals, yeah.
Yeah. Switching to ASFs, like some males wouldn't eat because a rat pup, you throw a rat pup in there, it just sits there. It doesn't move. You throw the same size ASF, that's like a bigger than a wean, smaller than a small ASF. That's a big ASF, but still small in comparison to the snake. So you're able to still feed it good weight. And by the time they're that age with the ASF, like over a wean, a little bit smaller than a small, their muscle and bone
content, yeah.
Yeah, it's so much more than just like a ball of fat compared to a rat pup. But there's definitely pros to ASFs. And honestly, I think at the rate it's going right now, I think the industry is going like more and more towards ASFs.
Yeah, I've been hearing a lot more pro ASF talk. Yeah. I mean, I still hear like some of the folks like with negative opinions on ASFs, and it is what it is. But I've definitely been hearing a lot more
for sure
pro ASF talk compared to what I used to hear.
Even during COVID, when we were just getting in, like you would think, like bring up ASFs, and everybody was like talking down, like do not feed ASFs, like they won't eat anything else. I find the opposite. I got rat eaters that I can't switch over. But if I throw a rat in an ASF eater's bin, it goes right away. Just because that's how good of eaters they are. But I don't know. I think we're switching over as an industry though.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to vary from snake to snake, obviously. Yeah. But yeah, I've had great experiences with ASFs and I plan to stick with it for sure.
Yeah. And they're, I mean, as per rat basis, they eat so much less. They're so much cheaper to produce. It's wild. We were going through earlier this year, we're going through like $1,500 in rat food a month. Now we're going through like half of that.
What rat food are y'all using?
We're using Kent.
Kent? Never heard of that one.
So it's the only thing we can really find locally at a decent price. I think we're getting it for like $22 a bag. Missouri.
Y'all buy by the pallet?
Yeah. Missouri for us is like $33 to $35 a bag. And
That's how much the Combat was for me from True.
Yeah.
I found it cheaper on a per bag basis, and we found like a pallet quote today.
Right.
Not that much cheaper than the per bag basis at that place.
Yeah.
But it's still way cheaper than what I was paying.
Right.
Yeah. I'm talking like 40% almost.
Yeah. It's when you talk about rat food being $35, I get it. Like if you're like an actual rat producer, you should probably use it because that's your whole business. But that's just expensive coming from like a small time breeder of snakes like us. But I don't know, all in time.
So what's y'all's cleaning schedule for the ASFs? Like, what is that like? Like, what kind of colonies you running and all that good stuff?
Yeah, so we use primarily the ARS 1050 bins for breeding, and then we have the 2470s, I guess. It's basically a snake rack, the 70 size snake rack.
Yeah, we 24 of them in there. Y'all got the ARS one, you said, right?
Yeah, so we have the Freedom Breeders 2470s and then ARS 1050s. Freedom Breeder. What do you have? Do you prefer one? Because I prefer the Freedom Breeder.
So I don't own a Freedom Breeder one.
Gotcha.
I only got one. Like, I got an ARS rack.
Yeah.
And then everything else is like sea serpents, PVC. Gotcha. I think I might switch to Freedom Breeder. I don't know for sure, but like I saw them like in person in Daytona, and like I really like just how solid they look. And so I've been thinking about it. And my homie Justin from Armless Angels, shout out to the sponsor. Like he definitely endorses Freedom Breeder. So I might switch. I don't know. We'll see.
I've checked them out at like Justin's house and stuff. The slide out table that they have in the Freedom Breeder snake racks are, I think that's a game changer. I don't understand why ARS doesn't have that yet. But as for rat racks, the ARS nozzles kind of, they just basically go into one of the holes of the mesh on top. Freedom Breeder has a nozzle holder where it's the perfect height, so you can slide tubs in and out without it hitting, and the nozzle won't ever pop out and then end up being on the mesh causing a flood. So that's the one thing we're finding with ARS rat racks right now. I keep having floods because the nozzles just don't stay in the mesh good enough. But we're running the 1050s for the colonies. We're running 1.4s, and then so last year we were cleaning pretty much like every 5 to 7 days. And we were finding that like, I didn't feel like it was really necessary. So we backed it up to like every 10. If it happens every 14 days. And they have no problems whatsoever. And because their ASFs are so much smaller and they pee on one corner and poop in one corner,
right,
it doesn't really get that dirty. I don't know. We just found it worked out best for us. So we do basically we clean rats 1 week and we clean ASFs the other week.
Gotcha. Okay, that's a good system.
Yeah. And people will hate on it saying we don't clean enough. We have good ventilation in there, so it's aired out. We have heat cooling. The rats are completely fine.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's a good system. I mean, and different people have different setups, different circumstances, all that good stuff. So you got to do at the end of the day, like what works for your operation at the end of the day.
Right. But cool. Yeah, we have, I think we're basically up to like 200 colonies of ASFs.
Oh, wow.
It's a lot of ASFs.
Yeah, that's a lot of ASFs. I mean, but you got a big collection. Like,
yeah. That's the biggest thing. Like right now, in the winter when it gets colder, our ASFs produce like 30-40% less than they do in the summer. Like in the summer with the same amount of colonies, we're producing upwards of 900 to 1,000 weans a week. Now we're running like basically we're lucky if we get 500 weans a week right now.
Yeah, I noticed my production like recently has slowed down too.
Yeah,
like,
for sure. That's a little weird.
In the summer it was nuts though.
Yeah, they produce so well when it's like 80-90 degrees. And then it's the opposite with the rats. The rats produce like crap in the 80, 90 degrees. In the winter, when your room drops to 60, 70, the ASFs don't produce, but the rats will.
I was really kind of overrun with ASFs for a while there, but, now they've kind of like slacked off a little bit.
Yeah. And
so like it's evening out. Hopefully it'll be a good like kind of like process to where I don't like get low or nothing like that.
Yeah, we had that 1,000 wean week. I was like, oh my god,
that's a lot of ASFs.
I'm like, I'm gonna have to feed so many ASFs this week.
But, that's a lot, yeah. That's good, that's good production,
yeah, for sure. Definitely.
So, breeding season getting ready to kick in, we're getting ready to do pairings in terms of your top pairings for the year. Like, what are you most excited about?
Yeah, so I mean, this year I'm really looking to just produce stuff for us. I'm not looking to produce, like last year I produced, I think, 3 or 4 pod clutches of just like orange string yellow belly leopard pods. Just hoping to sell them at shows because this is the first year we did a bunch of shows. And I'm not doing any of that next year. I'm just going to produce what we're looking to hold back. And then if we have extra stuff, I'll let go of that. But best clutches, best chances, hopefully in that spring we hit that sunset monsoon. I think it could be the prettiest or the ugliest snake in the whole world. But I want to be the one that finds out. I definitely want to do a bunch more with monsoon. So the DG monsoon, we have a chance of hitting monsoon clown, and then all sorts of sunset stuff. We have a chance of hitting, was it hypopied, double head, ultramel sunsets this year.
Okay.
Sunset clowns. I'm just trying to hit a bunch of females to put on a shelf for the future. But, yeah, man. What else? One more that I'm super excited about. And then we have a bunch of zebra stuff going. We have a couple males going to a bunch of females.
Okay, nice. Are you doing any puzzle stuff?
A little bit of puzzle stuff. We had we were slow getting into puzzle for sure. Now that I'm regretting it, because that's the hot seller right now.
Yeah, I'm regretting it too.
We had one clutch this year. It was a hypo puzzle to a DG hypo. So we had a bunch of hypo double head DG puzzles and held them all back. But this year, it's just going to be more double heads, triple heads. Like, we got the hypo puzzle going to, what is it? A combo sunset, Mojave yellow belly sunset. And we have our sunset clown going to our super pastel puzzle female. We have puzzle stuff, but it's really, we're just producing stuff for the future. Just double heads, triple heads and stuff.
Gotcha. And so in terms of like getting your animals like prepped for the season, like for example with females, do you step up feeding any, like what's your process breeding wise? Like,
so in October I wanted to try it out this year. We kind of dropped temperatures. Our ambient's usually like 77 to 79. I dropped it down to like 74 for a week or two just to see what would happen. I think it helped a little bit with some first-time females to get the follicles grown. But other than that, we really just breed once. Even we have an ultrasound, so we breed once basically to every female. Then we'll just watch our follicles. We find if we wait, we did this last year. So we waited for a bunch of females that hit like 15 to breed. And they just never hit 15, so we never bred them. And I mean, the nice thing is they'll be ready to produce for us good this year. But we ended up missing out on that clutch. So I'm just going to breed all the females once, watch their follicles. Once they hit 15, I'll probably breed them again. But, I mean, so far it's worked out. We bred, I think it was 3 or 4 females, and they were at like 8 to 10 millimeters. And they're already up at the 20s and 25 marks.
Nice.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens. I'm kind of still learning everything myself. Especially with the first-time females, I'm not sure like what triggers to watch out for other than the follicle size.
Yeah, like I'm still kind of in that experimental phase too, just because I'm new, still learning stuff. Like, right. I'm not like set in my ways. Like, some things will work for me, but I'm always like interested to like learn new tricks and kind of like think about things differently.
For sure.
I want it to be like, I want to optimize it as much as I can. So
yeah,
I feel like I got to be open to do that.
Exactly. I know there's like some of the older breeders, they do all sorts of weird shit to get the girls young. I think the guy, I think it's Corey Woods. He like gets his feet, all his females down in like the 50 degree, 60 degree mark for like a week in December. And that's what triggers them to go.
Oh, wow.
But I'm like, that is crazy.
That's different.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think I heard of that one before. I'm about to ask about it.
Yeah, I think it was Corey Woods. I'm not 100% sure, but I know I definitely saw it on Instagram. I was like, that is nuts.
I mean, but, I guess, is it working for him?
Yeah, if it works, it works.
So, question real quick.
Yeah.
How do you feel about Zebra and McKenzie being the same? Is a question from Justin.
So, I don't know. I'm kind of mixed on it right now myself. I think it's kind of like the Stranger Mahogany thing that was going on for a year or two. Like, everybody thinks they look the same, they could be the same. The only way we'll ever know for certain is to breed them together and see what happens. But even then, you could have like a orange dream and banger different. You breed them together, you're probably gonna get a super orange dream. That like, it's kind of weird. It could be two of the same things in a different gene. Chances are they're probably the same. They look pretty similar, but it's all about like, it doesn't really matter. It, like, if you like it, then it doesn't matter whether it's a recessive or a codom and if it's making cool shit. If I, like, the only way we'll ever know is if we, like, actually genetic test it with RGI. I don't think it's going to really affect anything with the zebra market just because the Mackenzie market was never, like, really produced either. No one ever really went through the Mackenzie market like they went through the stranger and red stripe market so far. But I think it's definitely going to be interesting to learn in the future. I think the next couple of years will really tell us a lot more about them.
I'm not that familiar with Mackenzie.
It kind of came out of like nowhere. So I didn't know anything about it either before we ended up getting a zebra and people were like, that's the same thing as Mackenzie. I'm like, all right. It's really like you could go on Morph Market. There's no Mackenzies for sale either. I think people buy them for the in the case that they are the same and they're actually recessive. It's sort of like Monsoon where if it's a het, you can basically tell. Like a het zebra doesn't look like a normal ball python. But it's just a little bit striped, the het zebras and the Mackenzies, and super Mackenzies and zebras obviously look like the zebra.
Gotcha. So price difference, I imagine Mackenzie is probably a little bit cheaper.
So I think so, but at the same time, I wouldn't say 100% because I don't think a lot of people are investing in zebras because of the Mackenzie thing. I think there's a lot of people that are worried about them being the same thing and being a codom, so they don't want to spend recessive money on the zebra. But I would still say, I don't know. Like, to me, whether it's codom, whether they're the same, it doesn't matter as long as you think it's cool and you want to produce something cool with it. Like, there's never been a Mackenzie clown or a super Mackenzie clown. So to me, it's just as new as the zebra. It's just worth as just as much. It might just drop a little bit faster on the back end.
What are your thoughts about, like, some genes that are slept on?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of genes that are slept on. I think even the genes that are becoming more popular, I think there's so much to be done with them. I think Jag, I mean, I don't know if Jag slept on, but I think there's so much to do with Jag. There's only been a handful of clown combos, and that's the only recessive it's really been put into. And then another thing that we're pushing heavy is getting Orange Dream into clown. There has been like, Orange Dream has only really gone into Pied. The only clowns that it's been put into are with Cypher. So I think that we got to get Orange Dream into clown a little bit more. All it does really is brighten and clean it up. I think that'll help it with the, even if you add DG to that, OD DG clown looks super bright and clean.
Yeah, but, nice. Nice. Anything else?
Yeah, there's so many more. Like the peach gene that Justin just came out with. Yeah,
I know what you're talking about though.
It's still barely been worked. The only one that's like been super nice is the one that JP hit. I think he hit like a stranger peach and it blows it up. Like it looks so much better in a stranger clown. And I think Xanthic and Hypo are kind of making comebacks right now. I think for a couple of years there, like with Justin hitting the Pompeii and all the Pompeii-ish animals, Xanthic kind of went away just because everybody was in love with the colors on the snake. But now with like the DG Xanthic, the DG Xanthic clown, I think Xanthic's killing it right now. And then Hypo, like during COVID, DG was blowing up. You couldn't buy a DG. Now I think in a way DG's coming back down to earth and Hypo's taking off again. Just because they're so similar as when they're young, but the Hypo looks so cool when they just hatch out and it's like bright frosty blue. I don't know. I think those two recessives are definitely gonna make a comeback in the next couple of years. I think
Hypo is nuts. This is one of my favorite genes.
Yeah. That's another one I slept on so hard. Just because the DG was, Hypo. Yeah. DG.
I mean, he was getting a lot of hate, like publicly.
Yeah, for sure. And I'm like regretting how much Hypo we have right now. We might have like 10 animals, and what, I don't know, 7 of them came from that Hypo puzzle clutch last year. But I think Hypo is going to kill it in the next couple of years for sure.
Gotcha. Yeah, definitely. I love my Hypo. I can't wait to keep working that project. That's one of my favorite one of my favorite recesses, like I said, and like working it in like so many different projects. It's cool. Yeah. I feel like there's really nothing that it makes look worse.
Yeah, yeah. And even us being so invested in the Sunset project, the Sunset Hypo blows away the Sunset DG. I don't care what anyone says. Sunset Hypo is like so much not, it's so much prettier than the Hypo, I mean the Sunset DG.
Now who's all hatched those?
The Sunset Hypo?
Adam, the Sunset Hypos. Didn't Adam hatch some?
Adam has a bunch. Brock hit a bunch. Okay. And Brock, Winston, Brad, they're all the same thing basically when it comes to Sunset. But the Sunset Hypo is sick. And the Sunset Hypo DJ, that's the best one of them all, of course. But Justin just hit a couple of them. But nice. There's a lot to do. A lot to do, man.
Yeah, that's a fun part. Like, it's a lot of stuff to figure out. Like, even with single recesses and double recesses, it's still like a ton more that's left to do.
Yeah, so that's one thing that I've noticed too. Like 2020, I didn't see it much, but like since the middle of 2021, I feel like we're skipping over the double recesses. We're skipping over the Xanthic Clowns and the Hypo Xanthics and going straight to the DG Hypo Xanthic Clown. Like, we're just going so fast.
I think
there's room in the market for someone to get into like the combo Xanthic Clowns, the combo True Ghost. We'll see. We'll see if someone actually takes advantage of it or not.
Yeah, for sure. Like, I like Kodoms and my stuff.
For sure. Yeah. That's what we messed up in the beginning. We bought like all double visuals, all triple hets, and no Kodoms. Now we're making up for it now, trying to get the Kodoms into the recesses. And that's what takes the longest. But
yeah, it's fun, man. I'm definitely looking forward to the future.
Yeah. For an industry that's been around for 30 years, it's amazing how like what hasn't been done. It's wild. Everything just takes a while. Yeah. So there's always gonna be room to improve.
For sure. So you mentioned y'all were doing more shows this past year. How many shows did y'all do?
That's a good question. We probably did six, maybe seven. Two local shows. We did Daytona and then all the NARBCs this year, except for the February Arlington and the March Tinley. We did the later half of the Tinleys and Arlington.
Nice. You have a favorite?
I mean, Tinley's something else. I've been in love with Tinley since we got in. We went to the first one. Just seeing all the quality animals that are there. It's the ball python show of the United States, but it is what it is. But just seeing the quality of animals and the quality of breeders there, it's definitely the best one. I haven't been to any in like California or anything. I want to get out there because I heard really good things about them. I'm interested to see how the Dallas show goes as well, the one that's taken over Arlington. I don't know. I would definitely say Tinley's my favorite, though.
Gotcha.
Daytona's just a good time, really. I'm less concerned about the show there as I am having a good time. But
yeah, it's a lot of fun to be had in Daytona. I had a blast in Daytona.
Yeah, it's a good time there.
For sure.
You know, I love the local shows. They're a little, they could do better. The promoters could do better, but Gettysburg's been doing a good show. I never like vended Hamburg. I used to go. They got like cobras in Coke bottles there, though. It's wild. It is crazy going to that show. We do Gettysburg, and then we do a local show called Oaks, which it's our show. It's a smaller show, but they're getting there. It drives me nuts. Because Oaks and Gettysburg, they're an hour and a half away. They always plan on the same weekend. So it makes me want to do neither of them. Just because you're going to have half the customers walking through.
Yeah.
But
yeah, 100%.
They're not bad for local shows.
Do y'all, what other local shows do y'all have? Do y'all got like a Repticon circuit? Or are there any more like local shows that run around?
Yeah, so most of the Repticons are a little bit more south of us and a little bit more west of us.
Okay.
We got the White Plains show. I haven't been to it yet. I've heard mixed feelings about it. It used to be really good, apparently, but when they shut it down for COVID, it just hasn't really been the same. And then there's a couple new ones down in like Virginia Beach. I think there's a Show Me Show.
We've been to one of those.
Yeah, it was the very first time they held it, and we were, I think it was the same weekend as like Tinley or something, so we weren't able to make that one. Don, I definitely think Oaks has potential, but they need to stop playing on the same weekend as Gettysburg, because I prefer Gettysburg out of the two.
Gotcha. Hey, we're going to take a real quick pause for the calls. Yeah, show some love to the sponsors. We'll be right back.
Yeah.
Peace and love, family. We invite you into the heart of our serenity, Ancestral Royal Pythons. At Ancestral Royal Pythons, we're not just breeders, we're nurturers of love and growth. Each of our high-end ball pythons is a tribute to the grandeur of the natural world and our dedication to quality. Reach out today and bring one of our creations into your home. This is Ancestral Royal Pythons. Your journey begins here.
Here's to the exciting world of ebony and ivory reptiles. From unforgettable parties and events to keeping and hatching some of the dopest reptiles in the reptile hobby, we're all about education, quality, integrity, and respect. Hit us up and see how we can help make your next project a reality. Experience Ebony and Ivory Reptiles, where fascination meets fun.
Ebony and Ivory Reptiles.
Shout out to the sponsors.
Bro, you got the best promotions out of all out of all of the podcasts. Like, you're reading a little script. You're actually, it's like an actual commercial.
Appreciate it, man. Appreciate it.
That's sweet.
So a lot of people talk about like building relationships at shows and having people fly through. Is that like something that you get a chance to do a lot of and you appreciate at the shows?
Yeah, for sure. I think that's the best part about shows. Honestly, it's kind of crazy. Like, I feel like everybody in this industry, we're all such good friends, yet the only time we ever hang out is at a show. Like, no one actually hangs out other than the shows, unless you're, like, real close to them, just because it's so far from everybody, really. Especially for us. If it's not a local, like, the closest friends we have are 5 hours away. it's hard to get together unless it's a show, but I think that's something that this industry should do a little bit more of. I think someone probably will do it in the future with, like, a Patreon group. We'll all get together for a big party or stuff like that. But that's the best part about shows, meeting up with all your friends and really just having a good time the whole weekend and hoping you sell something.
Yeah.
It's less of a worry about selling something as long as you're having a good time with your buddies.
Yeah. Yeah. I've had some good times at shows and
definitely
looking forward to continuing that for sure.
Yeah. Are you vending a lot?
Am I vending?
Yeah.
Not yet. Yeah. We'll start next year, like vending some shows. Yeah. Probably do like some local shows at first, just kind of get our feet wet, get our process down pat, and then we'll go from there and see how it goes.
And honestly, the local shows aren't bad. Like, we did two this year. One of them was Gettysburg, and Gettysburg was our second best show out of all the shows we did. Sometimes it's not bad being the big fish in the little pond compared to the little fish in the big pond. But it's all about how you look at it, really. It was our first year doing NARBC, so it's kind of the first time we were seen around there.
Gotcha.
All right.
Yeah, like we've got some good local shows. Like Orlando's a good show.
Yeah. Oh, you're in Florida?
Yeah. Oh, Tampa's a good one.
Yeah, yeah.
Those two for sure. Yeah. Orlando and Tampa are probably the best two, like, Repticons. Jacksonville's pretty good.
How are the Repticons? Are they a bunch of times a year?
And it seems like every other week sometimes.
Yeah.
But nah, it's probably almost once a month, though.
Yeah.
Like, no exaggeration. Yeah.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Yeah. So they hit some cities, like, probably, like, twice in a year.
Gotcha.
And so it keeps a good rotation.
Yeah.
Because, like, Jacksonville, it's a couple shows at Jacksonville, a couple in Orlando, a couple in Tampa. Mm-hmm. And then, obviously, Daytona. For NRBE. And then, like, they've got some other ones, like, in South Florida and stuff. And then they've got the Show Me shows, too.
Right.
And so they're trying to, like, get some ground or get some clientele and promote it better and stuff like that.
I think one of the show promoters needs to just buy the other show promoters out and just have more quality shows and less quantity. Even like our local shows, the two we have, the Oaks and Gettysburg, they're both really nice venues, but the, if they're not on the same weekend, it's one weekend and then the other next weekend, and then it's a 3-month gap until the next two. I don't know. I think NARBC is really missing out not having a show. It's like somewhere over here near New York. I think there's too many people over here to not have a show.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, that would be dope to go to New York.
Yeah. Something. I think it would be pretty sweet.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
How far from NYC are you?
Probably like 2.5 hours, 2 hours. Jersey's, there's a lot of nice things about Jersey. But it's kind of like we're close to everything within 2 hours, but not super close to anything within like 45 minutes to an hour. Like you have to drive pretty much an hour to get everywhere. But yeah, NYC is probably 2 hours. We don't really go there much. There's too many goddamn people up there.
Yeah, that's funny.
Where are you based at in Florida?
Gainesville.
Gainesville?
Yeah. You know where that's at? It's like North Central Florida.
Yeah, gotcha.
Yeah.
You like it down there?
Yeah, I do. I've been in this area basically my whole life. We come from Georgia.
Right. Gotcha.
But it's only like an hour and a half north of here, my hometown. And so I've basically been in this area my whole life.
Yeah. Is that like the part of Florida where it's like all farms?
No, it ain't that bad. I mean, it's a lot of farmland. It's a lot of farmland out here, but it's not all farms. Like
driving to like Daytona, bro, the first like 4 hours of Florida is just farms. it's a rough ride.
You remember what road you're on?
Nah, I got no idea. Man, even my sister goes to college down there, over by Tampa, Eckerd College. It's a small little school.
Okay.
Dude, that drive sucks too. It's just straight cows the whole ride. Like you think you're about to get into Florida, you're like, all right, cool, we're almost there, and then it's just 5 hours of nothing. But it could be worse, I guess.
Yeah, it's definitely a lot of farmland around. Yeah. Like horses and stuff like that. Yeah. Like, I'm not too far from this real small city called Ocala, but like horses is like it's a huge kind of like thing down there. And so like it's definitely a lot of farmland and all that kind of stuff. But
yeah. You ever ride a horse?
Nah. Have you?
Yeah, my grandfather actually lives in Virginia. He's got a farm. He's got a bunch of horses.
Okay. Yeah. I've never ridden a horse before.
Something to do.
Gainesville is it's a small city, but it's like it's the University of Florida is here, and got so it. Because of UF, it's like a lot more stuff.
Right. Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah. But yeah, it's pretty cool. I like it.
Yeah, that's all that matters.
Yeah, at one point we were going to move to like Charlotte,
Carolina.
Yeah, that was kind of the plan. Like, come to Gainesville, chill in Gainesville for like 3-4 years, maybe. And then go to Charlotte, but we end up planting roots here and been here ever since.
You got kids?
Yeah, two.
Man.
Yeah, they're older now, though. My son's a senior in high school.
How old are you?
Sophomore.
Bro, I thought you were like 34.
44.
Oh, my gosh. That's crazy. I had no idea.
Yeah.
Is he in the snakes and stuff? Or?
Yeah, he helps us out. Yeah.
Yeah. That's
sweet. Yeah. Helps with the rodents too. That's a huge help.
Yeah, I bet.
Another set of hands, it makes it go so much quicker.
Oh yeah, the guy we have cleaning rats now, he does a good job, but it still takes him like 15-20 hours a week. But like when I was doing it a couple years ago, when I would have my dad, it would take us like 8 hours just knock it out. It takes like half the time.
Yeah, but yeah. It's a lot more fun to do it like with somebody. It's y'all knocking it out. Yeah, you got a system, and it's just like boom, boom, boom.
Yeah, you're not just like sitting there hating your life for 8 hours.
Exactly. Because I have done it by myself.
Yeah.
It's been fun.
Yeah, no, that's not.
And I have done it like at first, like when it wasn't no extra tubs. Mm-hmm. And it was like clean, or not a lot of extra tubs, so clean.
Yeah.
Put them in new tubs, then you got to clean some more tubs so you can clean some more. Like, man, I hate that. Like,
yeah, we pretty much ordered enough tubs that he could clean half of the racks, and then he's got to wash them, and then has to clean the other half. How do you clean your tubs, though? You clean them quick enough that they're all still dry? You don't have to wash them out hard or anything?
So, yeah, we have to wash them out. You just take them out there, put some detergent in there, spray them with the hose real good, make sure they're clean, and dry them off. And then, like, we always, like, refill the bed into and set it up, like, the next time. Yeah. That way, next time
you can just get right into it.
Yeah.
When you have to prep the bins right before you clean, your back's hurting for the rest of the day. It's tough. But
yeah, it's too much work to do it that way.
Yeah, we do the same thing. We power wash all the bins right when we get them out and clean them.
Yeah. Just got to do what you got to do to make things more efficient. But I definitely want to get like a Freedom Breeder rack or some kind of like more professional rack at some point.
Yeah. Most of your wood right now?
Yeah. So I got wood racks, and then I got like some garage tubs. Yeah. We don't have nearly as many colonies though.
No?
Yeah. Not as y'all.
Yeah. Like every season, we kind of never stop growing with the rats because we just always have more and more snakes. Eventually, we're going to, like, level out and not have to keep producing more. But until we hit that spot, you got to keep producing more and more and more.
Are y'all going to sell any at some point?
Rats.
Yeah.
So, for a while there, we were selling a ton of rats. We were producing way too many. That's probably why we're spending so much on rat food. We're probably making, a good 200, 300 a week on rats. With ASFs, because we went switched all the way over to ASFs, we kind of use more, like, we don't have that many extras to sell every week, and then they don't outgrow the ball python, so I'm not worried about getting rid of them as fast as I was with the rats.
That's the good thing about them.
Yeah, so eventually we might, but even in this area, there's not a lot of ASF feeders, so everybody's still really on rats.
Gotcha.
So until more people start checking them out, we'll see. I can't imagine a world where we really up RSF production.
You say you can't imagine a world?
Yeah, for sure.
Have you did any research or learned like what the price like per ASF is there?
So, no. It's kind of interesting because we have a local reptile shop, and they just opened a couple years ago. But even for rats, they sell them for like $7 a large.
I'm retail, man.
Yeah.
Heads.
I would imagine ASF weaned would be like $3, and a large ASF would be $5 tops. People aren't like stingy around here, but they're not going to pay like $5 for a lot of large ASFs. They would find something else for cheaper. But
gotcha.
I think, like, there's a lot of rat breeders, like national rat breeders that ship rats and everything. I think there's a lot of room in the market for like an ASF feeder breeder that it's going to like ship out frozen ASFs. It's all about who wants to jump on that, but it takes a lot of money to start breeding that kind of quantity of ASFs.
Yeah. Because you got to invest in the infrastructure and all that.
Yeah.
You got to have a good system too that works so you're not like killing yourself in terms of like time, resources, and
then reliable employees. One employee calls out, you better get yourself to work.
Yeah.
But we'll see. Maybe someday.
Yeah. For sure. And so I wanted to talk about like kind of like how y'all have gone about building your business. And you've touched on it like here and there with some things y'all talked about. But talk about like how y'all like thought about your branding and how like you build out your business and building social media and all that good stuff.
Yeah, so that's something we probably should work on a little bit more. We looked into starting a YouTube channel. I'm not there yet. It just takes a lot of work, and I'm not sure I want to step into it. And if I'm going to start a YouTube channel, I don't want to be the one that starts a YouTube channel and has like 3 videos in 9 months. Like, to me, that's pointless. So we focus really on Instagram, posting quality animals for people to see, and to be honest, my girlfriend primarily does all the social media stuff for us. branding. The main thing we do branding is try to just be at as many shows as we can and talk to as many people as we can so they know about us. But other than that, like when we first started, we invested in some higher dollar animals that kind of caught a lot of people's eyes. But ever since then, I mean, we haven't really focused on it as much. We talked to who's the guy that did Justin's branding? Blake Stewart,
I think. Blake Stewart, yeah.
We talked to him about rebranding, and I don't know. I couldn't commit to it because, like, I like our logo how it is. And I feel like people kind of know us for our logo, and I think we're too new for, like, a full-on rebranding like Canova had that people wouldn't really transfer over as easily as Canova did. But
yeah, we did that early on. Because we worked with Blake too, like early on. Yeah, like a few years back. But at that time, like nobody knew who we were.
Right.
With our old stuff. We hadn't really put like any kind of equity into our old branding.
Right.
We just ended up going a different direction because the original branding we had wasn't gonna work for like how we were trying to present ourselves as a company. And so we just went a different route.
Yeah. So you ended up getting like a package from Blake or whatever?
Yeah.
How was that process? Was it like easy?
I mean, they made it easy. It was definitely more in depth than like I've gone through like other logos that I created in the past. Like it was like, first it was like a discovery call where he kind of like talked about what the process would look like, kind of like what all would be involved and stuff like that. And just kind of gave you an overview of the process. And then like he gave some quotes like based on stuff that he would do and whatnot. And then so we decided which package we want and then went through that process. And like, so that process was like a series of meetings to kind of really talk about like, talk about your brand, talk about your messaging, talk about like how you're trying to like come across and stuff like that. Before we even like got into like any of the logo stuff, it was all that kind of like psychology behind like what you want your brand to be and how you want to present yourself. And then after that, we start talking about like colors and stuff like that and kind of like stylistic type stuff after that. And then like they came back with like a mock-up and I liked it like right out of the gate. I was like, oh yeah, that's it, because like they kind of like said sometimes people don't like it like right out the gate, and the third, and you got to kind of think about like what's important,
right?
And like I was like in my mind I was like panicking, I was like, is this gonna be some bullshit? And then they unveiled it, I was like, that's it.
that's so funny, man.
It was a good experience though. It was dope.
That's good. If it's not 2024, 2025, we'll probably have to look at something. Just try to take us to the next level compared to, like, I feel like a lot of the snake industry has, like, cartoonish logos. Even our logos, like, cartoonish. I'd like to get something a little bit more, I don't know, clean looking like you have and Justin has.
They give you, like, a branding guideline pack.
Yeah.
I still refer to this day.
Yeah, that's true.
All kind of different versions of your logo that's scalable, some different options. Like we got like our main one, and even our main one, we've got in like three different kinds of like forms. Like there's like a horizontal form, there's a stacked form, and then there's just the mark. And then we got that in like some different color schemes that are like alternate logos and stuff like that.
That's sweet.
And then you can order stuff through them if you want to, or you can order it through another designer. So
I wish, part of me wishes we did it then. Part of me, I'm happy we waited until we made a little bit of money that we could eventually use something for that.
Yeah.
But we'll definitely have to look into that in this coming year for sure.
Yeah. He's a good person.
Yeah, good for sure. I had a conversation with him. I think my dad met him at one of the shows just having breakfast. But he's pretty genuine sounding.
Yeah. I linked up with him at Tinley in 2022. That was the first time I met him in person. Before then, it was like, because the first place that I saw him was on Chris's show. When he did that Leveling Up, that was the first place that I saw him.
Right.
And then like I reached out to him, and obviously we talked a lot for like the branding and stuff like that. But in terms of, and he was on the show too, like early on in the show.
Gotcha.
Early on in when I first started the show, he was on like one of the early episodes.
Right.
But in terms of meeting in person, it wasn't until like Tinley, like the fall Tinley in 2022. Yeah. But yeah, cool. It's like, I got a seat down here at the auction table. Come on.
That's sweet. There's nothing like sitting at a table during the auction. Like, you sit in the back, you're like, all right, this is all right. You sit at the table, you think you're a cool kid. It's a cool feeling.
Yeah, I have a lot of fun at auctions, man.
Yeah. And then I remember, I think the first time we met Blake, his business cards were metal or something like that. I'm like, this is awesome. That's a cool ass business card right there. But it's definitely something we're probably going to look into in a couple of years.
Nice. Yeah, if you got any questions, I mean, I'm no like expert by any means, but yeah, I can definitely speak more to my experience and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You got questions? For sure. For sure. But yeah, I always recommend it.
Yeah. Especially like, I mean, if you're going to make good money in this industry, you might as well look like clean and like an official nice brand. Like Justin's logo is super, super simple and clean. I think your logo is super, super simple and clean. Like, I think that's just the way to go in the future.
Yeah, I definitely like we're working on like a lot of the stuff that we do. Like, everything isn't where I want it per se. Yeah,
right.
Definitely like try to make like improvements here and there, there. It's a process just like anything else.
Yeah.
And we kind of like do stuff. And it's cool to like look back where we started versus like where we are now. And
Right. We
still know we got like so much further that we want to go, but it's like a cool process. And then like you're meeting cool people along the way, learning from folks. Like I enjoy the whole process, and it's one of those things where you can fall in love with the process.
Definitely. Yeah. No. But
cool, man. So, anything else you want to tell folks about Jersey Guys? Anything cool coming up?
Anything cool? Let's see. I mean, we got our first couple clutches going to be laid for the 2024 season. Probably within 30-ish days, 45-ish days. Couple cool clutches. And then, I mean, that's it for a while until our girls start growing some good follicles. And then for show season, we really don't have anything set up until March. There's a local show in January we're considering. I don't know if it's going to happen, just because we're a little bit busy during that time. But, yeah, man. I mean, right now it's like slow season.
How many 2022 babies you got left?
For sale?
Yeah, for sale.
Probably like 60.
Like 60?
Yeah. And that's probably that the original number we started with for sale is probably double that. So we probably sold half the babies.
Gotcha.
Did
you do any of that Morph Madness?
I did. I put some of them on sale. Just to see what would happen. I thought it was really interesting because to me, if everybody puts their animals on sale on the same weekend, is it like really a sale? Because I mean, like, you're getting it cheaper, but like no one really has an advantage over the other person because everybody's doing a 30% sale. I mean, we did all right though. We sold like 4 or 5 animals during that weekend. But yeah, I mean, Morph Market was interesting for us this year. There was like 3 months where we didn't get an inquiry. And then since, I don't know, August or September, we probably sold 15 animals, 20 animals. Which, I mean, for us being so new, I think that's a win. I think that's a good year.
Nice, nice. Are you going to do Morph Pay?
Morph Pay?
Yeah, Morph Pay.
Yeah, I mean, we'll set it up. Everybody else is going to set it up. To me, if you don't set it up, you're only hurting yourself. You're taking away a way for someone to just send you money for an animal.
Yeah. I agree. I set it up last night too.
Yeah. The only thing I think that could be an issue, I don't know if it 100% will be an issue, like say you are at a show not checking your Morph Market every 10 minutes. If someone just pays you for, I think you have to like,
you got 24 hours to accept or reject.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Because I was going to say, like, what if you sell an animal and then 5 minutes later someone buys it before you take it off your Morph Market? But I don't think there's going to be a problem. And I think eventually I think it's actually going to get better and better and better, where people are going to be able to send you offers and not just like pay the whatever asking price. But we'll see. I think Morph Market, there's a lot to do with Morph Market for Darien still. I think he can still set up his like his animal inventory thing a little bit better, his collection, I don't even know what to call it, database.
Yeah.
So there's more to do with that. I think, I don't know, he'll get there eventually. I think there's just a lot to do. I think he's doing an all right job considering the interesting way people viewed Morph Market earlier this year.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I ain't gonna lie, there was like a time where I was wondering like what direction Morph Market was gonna go, but like over the past several months, like a lot of that like extra stuff has really kind of calmed down.
For sure.
And it's just been like a lot of what I think are improvements. Like, you can't make everybody happy, and I'm not saying every improvement is perfect or whatever, but there have been like a lot of improvements, and I have seen like intent there to make things better. Like, I think they posted the other day that they're gonna be working on like a customer management kind of like functionality within, and that'll be pretty cool.
Yeah, I think he's really doing a great job. I think he's doing things a little bit faster than John did, but it was just like the shock of John selling it to Darien, that, and then Darien had a couple issues in the beginning where people were just freaking out. And when that was happening, I'm like, damn, do I need to switch the clutch or something, get my clutch profile ready, because that's probably going to be the next Morph Market or something. But nah, I think Darien's doing a great job now, and I think it's only going to get better from here.
Yeah, but yeah, I'm definitely going to use more pay, and we'll see if it helps. Nothing's going to help if I don't post some of my animals that I got for sale. Like, I got so many things for sale that I haven't posted.
Really?
I'll be posting a lot like over the next few weeks, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got to do a good job of posting. I know, right? I know.
But what do you do for a living? Do you do snakes full time?
No, I don't do it full time. I work at a university in operations.
Gotcha.
And so I stay pretty busy with work too.
Yeah.
And so sometimes things can get hard behind. Yeah, like the non-biological things.
Yeah.
Because the biological things, you can't let that get behind.
That's the hardest part about it. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, you have shit you need to get done at least weekly. And then the other stuff, if you have extra time, it gets done. If not, it just wait another week, I guess.
Exactly. Like, YouTube videos is something like I've always like played around with the idea.
Yeah.
Of like YouTube videos outside of this. This works because like it's live. We can do it. Right. We can just come. There's gonna be some mistakes. It's gonna be some imperfections, but it's gonna be a show, and it's natural, right? Yeah. And so this is easy, and I can download an audio file and put it on the podcasting platform. So that's a relatively light lift. I mean, it's a commitment nonetheless, but it's different than like doing like recorded videos and posting them.
Like, when you think about it, like a YouTube video of 10-15 minutes, it's actually like probably 2 or 3 hours of editing. It's shit like that. I'm like, I don't know about all that. I'm not built for that right now. I got better things to do.
Yeah, it's a good bit of work that goes into YouTube videos. Yeah, for sure. Salute to all the folks who do it and who do it consistently, because it's not easy.
It's hard stuff.
Yeah.
Especially, and then if you're going to like record a video and you're going to edit it yourself, you have to watch yourself on camera and not think you look like a fool.
And that's the weirdest thing. Like, I'm still not quite used to it this day. Like, listening to myself or looking at myself on camera, like, it's a weird dynamic for sure.
I think I did MJ's podcast probably like 2 years ago now. I still haven't watched it. Why would I listen to myself? I just sound dumb.
I'd never go back and watch the podcast episodes that I'm on.
Yeah. But I don't
like know. I see and hear mine just from like working with it, like doing clips and stuff like that. And even then, it's like different. And if you notice, like most of the time, I don't even post. Like, when I post like little clips from the show, it's always just what the guest saying. We just focused on the guest. It's just weird. I don't know what's weird with it, but it is what it is. Like, I enjoy doing it, don't get me wrong.
For sure.
And I enjoy like learning and trying to get better and stuff like that. But it's just that dynamic of listening to yourself is kind of weird.
But we'll probably start a YouTube channel eventually. It might be on our 2024 to-do list, but
gotcha. Okay.
I just need to commit to it. But
and plus, I'm overly judgmental of myself too.
Yes, I so am I. It's especially so, like on a recording and you hear yourself. Like I'll do stuff and I'll be like, "Damn, that was really dumb." But if I'm listening to myself, I'm like, I sound like I don't know what I'm talking about. What am I doing here?
And like other people not viewing you that critically as you view yourself too. And so that's a huge part of it. Cause like I critique myself and everything. Like, bro, did you just breathe like that? Like,
I feel you, man. I feel you. That's fun. What's your show schedule look like for 2024? Which one's you going to?
So Daytona for sure.
Yeah.
And at least one NARBC show.
Gotcha.
Is the thought. So it'll probably be fall Tinley.
Yeah.
Definitely some Florida shows.
Gotcha.
Because
you go and hang out.
Yeah, yeah. So it'll be in terms of Florida shows, vending and attending.
Gotcha.
Sweet. Yeah. I don't think I'm a vend like Daytona or anything like that.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm gonna have the inventory.
Yeah.
To like be so debuting with Daytona.
Daytona was interesting for us last year because, well, one, we didn't have the right permits that we needed. So we were one of the ones that got kicked out after the first day. But two, the two separate rooms is a little weird. Like all the real nice ball python breeders are in that first huge, gigantic room. And then it seems like all the younger, newer companies were in that back room. So we were in that back room. And it was weird because it seemed like most people would go into that gigantic room first, which that's what I would do as well. But if they're going through that gigantic room with Brock Wagner, Morph Jungle, all these amazing ball python breeders, the odds of them not buying something in that room before they come to that second little room is it's slim to none. So unless we were in that big room, I don't know. Daytona wasn't great for us this year for a bunch of different reasons. But I don't know. I think they need to do. I don't like the idea of two separate rooms at a single show. I feel like someone's bound to get screwed.
Yeah, like in 2021, 2022. In 2022, that was the first time they opened that second room back up, or at least like since I started going. Because in 2020 and 2021, they didn't have that second room.
Yeah.
I think they might have had it open like in years prior to that, but 2020, 2021, they didn't. 2022, they opened it up. And to kind of like get traffic to go over there, like they opened that room first before they opened the big room. And so like people in the big room were pissed. Yeah.
I heard about that.
Yeah.
I think my dad went, but I didn't go to that one. I heard people were pissed.
Yeah, yeah.
But like I said, when you have two rooms, someone's going to be pissed off.
Exactly. Yeah, for sure.
I don't know. I don't know what else they could do there, though. That room's so goddamn big, I don't think they need more vendors than that big room, though. I think to have that little room, I think it's only causing problems. I don't see a lot of people benefiting from it.
So you want to talk about, like, because you said y'all didn't have the right permit, so, like, what went down with that?
So with Florida, coming from out of state, you need a class three license and then an import permit as well. We didn't know about any of this. We didn't ask anyone. We were just like, all right, we thought it was like any other show where you don't really need much other than like a health certificate. So like 2 weeks before that, I think I asked Corey DeLong. I was like, do I need any permits for the show or anything? He was like, you don't have your permits yet? I'm like, no. And he told me the process or whatever, so I submitted all that information. But it takes like – I submitted that a week before Daytona, and I literally just heard back from him the other day saying I did it wrong. Like, it took like 4 months a year.
It takes forever.
It's wild.
It takes
forever. So we went – we talked to Wayne, first of all, and he was like, nah, there's like 50 people in the same boat. Just come down. Everything will be fine. So we make the drive 15 hours down there. We set up, I guess we set up Thursday or Friday, whatever the first day was. And we're good. We're good Saturday. And then, like, the last 10 minutes Saturday, just a random lady just came up to the booth. And I talked to her like I talked to everybody else. I'm like, hey, how are you? How's your show going? And I see a badge on her hip. I'm like, what the hell is this person? What is she doing here? She's like, who's Brett Towers? I'm like, me. She was like, you don't have the right permits to be here. You guys got to pack up to go. So I'm like, all right. Well, I knew we didn't have the right permits. We submitted the application. We didn't actually get the permit. So I'm not going to put up like a hissy fit about it. I'm like, all right, yeah, like, we'll leave. But like as we're leaving, Wayne's like, you haven't vended that show.
Nah.
When it's closing time, like 5 minutes before closing time at that show, they are kicking you out of the door. Like, they don't want you to stay past the closing time. They are literally coming around, sweeping behind you, and forcing you out of the door. So we got kicked out. We had to pack up all our stuff. And it doesn't take that long, but it takes a good amount of time, like 25 minutes. And they're yelling at us to get our stuff out. I swear.
Did they know that y'all had to pack? Well, I mean, obviously they saw you like packing up the stuff and whatnot.
Yeah, they knew. And we, like, it was one of them was Wayne. Like, he understood what was happening. Apparently, there's like 9 or 10 different people that got kicked out of that show for the same reason, just didn't have the right permits.
Yeah, you would think he wouldn't give that advice.
Yeah, I don't know. To him, it's just one less headache if we stop calling him and we just come. I can't really blame anyone except for myself. I should have knew about the permit thing. It was my fault, but
yeah.
You live and you learn. But yeah, Troy, I'm on a podcast. This is my PR tour this week, and then I'm done for the year. But yeah. It was still a fun time though. We didn't have a bad time.
Did y'all stay in Daytona for the rest of the weekend?
So no, we ended up leaving Saturday night. So on the way down there, we saw a bunch of signs. I forget what highway it was on. But it was like, this highway is going to be closed Sunday night. And that's when we were going to be driving home. I was like, oh, what the fuck? We're going to be in like 18 hours instead of 15 hours probably. So when that happened, we saw that sign. We got the boot out of that show. It's like, all right, like, we can stay here and have a good time tonight and then still have to drive home tomorrow. Or we just save a whole day and be home tomorrow, be able to put all the snakes away on Sunday and still be able to work on Monday. So, I mean, we ended up just heading home that night. I kind of wish we stayed just to have a good time. Honestly, it's less worries if the snakes aren't at the convention.
Yeah, but yeah.
It was whatever. At that point, I was kind of just mad at myself, so I was ready to go.
I feel you. But yeah, it's definitely a fun vibe, though.
We hung out.
You forgot about it soon.
For sure. And then, I don't know if I'll be able to make it down there, but I'm pretty sure my dad's still going to vend that show next year since have our import stuff.
Nice. And so, yeah, man, it does take a while. Like, I did mine on their electronic system for the first time this year. And it was supposed to be like much faster and whatever. But I think like when I did mine, because like, so I got it the first year and it took a long time.
Yeah.
And then when I renewed the second year, it took a long time. And so I was like panicking, like,
right,
you're not gonna send me like my updated form like ahead of time. And so like I called him and whatever. And there's like, well, as long as you paid, then you're good to go.
Right.
You've paid, we've received your money. And so we got that on file. And so we're still within like the window of approving it. And so you'll get it within that window. But in the interim, you're still good to go because you submitted and paid.
Yeah.
All right. And so like I applied earlier this year because like I didn't want to like be worried about like being like that window and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want that to be like something that got like drug out or whatever. And so I applied earlier in the system this year because like they got the computer system now that they do it in and you go online and do it. And for whatever reason, like I listed an emergency contact, I think, with like my same address, and you're not supposed to do that.
Gotcha.
In my mind, if you're not supposed to do something in the system shouldn't let you do it. But
Right.
Like just pop up an alert. Hey, this is the same thing. This is wrong. You can't submit it. And then don't let me submit it. But that's my bad. I messed up. I did that. Yeah, right. Yeah. But we were like at the, because I think they got like 90 days or whatever.
Right, right.
It was like 2.5 months later before I heard back from them. And then so like I fixed that. And then it was like another 2.5 months before like I finally got it. And then I had to send the money in. And I was like worried about it because I was like, well, I haven't sent the money in this time.
Yeah.
Because you can't send the money in until after you get approved. And so like I was worried if it's gonna be an issue. So I called and talked to some people there, and they were like, it's not gonna be an issue, you'll be fine. We see that you submitted, so you're good to go. And so I just took them at their word, and I didn't ever have an issue, but I never was really had an opportunity to have an issue with it. Yeah. So
it's so
it
interesting.
Is what it is.
Like, so I submitted that application on like August 6th or whatever. And my dad, like he comes up to me a couple weeks ago. He's like, did you ever get an email back? Like, did we get approved for it or what? So I sent an email to, there was no email. So I sent an email to the agent that told us that we had to go at Daytona. I'm like, can you please advise on like how we should go about getting approved with our license? And so I email her and she reaches back out. She's like, yeah, everything looks good on my end. I'm going to email someone from the office. She emailed someone from the office. Here, I applied as a business. And in order to do that, you need to have another thing filled out in Florida on some other website to be registered as a business in Florida, to register through Fish and Wildlife as a business.
Oh, no. Some biz.
Yeah. So I was never, ever going to figure that out unless I emailed them on why I haven't been approved. So I don't know. I mean, I reached out to them. They were like, just register as an individual. It's not a big deal to be registered as a business. And they're like, as soon as you do that, let us know. And you'll be like put first in line since it's been 5 months since you applied. I'm like, all right, well, I appreciate that. Thanks for letting me know.
Yeah, I submitted mine in early July. It was last month when I got it.
Yeah, it's wild. That's crazy. But
it takes a while, and maybe it'll be faster this year. It was probably rolling out a new system. I understand, like it's like hurdles and stuff you got to jump over whenever you roll something out new. So hopefully next year is quicker.
Yeah,
sure, man.
Should be interesting.
Cool, man. So, man, it's been great chatting with you tonight.
Yeah, man.
Before we let you get out of here and enjoy the rest of your night, I do got some wrap up questions for you. And so, the first one is, if you could live anywhere in the world, where would it be, and why?
Oh, that's a good question. Honestly, it would be in between Texas and upstate New York.
Okay.
Completely different environments. Yeah. But one, Texas, it's got no state income tax. It's super warm and nice. But man, I am a fan of the cold. Upstate New York is where I went to college and I loved it up there.
You're a fan of the cold?
Yeah,
I'm the opposite.
Yeah, you hate it. Yeah, maybe I'm moving with Troy. Iowa's got some cold weather.
But like I was telling somebody, like I don't mind visiting somewhere where it's snowing a lot.
Yeah,
but I don't want to live there.
No, I need my seasons. I need all four seasons. If I don't, I think I'll get sick of summer if it's summer 9 months out of the year.
Oh, that's Florida.
Yeah, I don't know if I can do all that.
And it's humid too.
Yeah, and I sweat when it gets to 90 degrees. Basically, as soon as I walk out the door, I'm like, I'm screwed.
Oh yeah, were you sweating in Daytona?
Oh yeah. Oh, it was hot as balls in Daytona.
Yeah.
But I mean, the first year we went to Arlington, I guess 2022, dude, Arlington in September was like 105 degrees. I'm like, this is terrible. This is awful. But yeah, I mean, it all depends on feeling that day, I guess.
Gotcha. All right. So next one, if you won $10 million tomorrow, how would you use it?
Man, that's a great question. I'd probably put $9 million into a stock market. So I get paid, I don't know, however much interest a year. And then the other million, I'd probably buy some snakes.
Nice, nice.
Yep.
Any new projects you gonna jump in with the other million? Or are you gonna build out the ones you're working?
Honestly, I might.
That's
That's a lot of snakes. Yeah, I'd probably diversify, to be honest. I'd probably get a couple different species. We're getting into monitors a little bit, so I'd probably buy a bunch of them. Then I would like to get some more green trees, but they're after monitors. I'm into the monitors right now.
So what monitors have y'all picked up?
We have one blue tree monitor and then a pair of Kimberly Rock monitors.
So those Kimberly Rocks, you going to breed them?
Yeah, hopefully, eventually. We'll see. Got to learn. I never bred a monitor, so it's going to be a learning process. I'm sure I'll screw something up.
Nice, nice. And you say you're into green trees, too?
Yeah, so we have one. We have one designer from the House of Blue, Garrick.
Okay.
And honestly, it's an easier snake to take care of than the ball pythons, really.
Oh, like, yeah.
They don't do anything. They just sit on the perch the whole time. And then they poop like once or twice a month, and then you're good. It's so easy.
That's what I've heard. Like a much easier thing to take care of.
I heard it's super, super easy with them until you try to breed them, and then they die for no reason.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Apparently they're hard breeders. But
is yours pretty chill? Or
yeah, he's pretty chill. He's pretty chill. I'm afraid that I always have like some kind of bacteria that I'm going to end up killing it on my hands. So I don't ever play with it with my hands or anything. I just hold its stick up really with it on a stick. But it kind of just sits there and looks at me until you put a rat in front of its face. Then it's a psychopath. But, but it's pretty cool.
Nice, nice. Yeah. All right, and then last random question. If you could have dinner with any three people in the world, dead or alive, who would it be and why?
All right. I would do... Man, that's a hard question. I would probably do Elon Musk because I think that guy is like a wizard. I swear he's not from this planet. He's from somewhere else, and he's bringing all his technology here. I would do – who else? God, man, that's a hard question.
This is one of my favorite ones. I love to hear people's answers. And why, please?
I'd probably do one of the OGs in the reptile industry, like the Barkers. Just to like get an understanding on like where their mindset is, like was when they were getting, they're pretty much the people who started this entire industry. So I would love to like just talk to them about that and get an understanding about how it was back then, what's changed, and what they see in the future. And third, I'd probably go with like Joe Rogan or something just because he's cool as shit.
What's one question you would ask him?
Oh, man. I would probably ask him who his favorite person to talk to has ever been since he's talked to so many people.
That's a good question. That would be a good one.
He's talked to so many famous and rich people. It's mind-blowing. But I'll go with those three. I'm happy with those three.
Nice, nice. And, bro, I would be remiss if we let you get out here without talking about the 15 minutes of lane contest.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you're looking forward to all that?
So we're in it. So I'm not one to put myself before the snakes, really. I don't know. The contest, I feel like it's kind of like the YouTube thing where I'm not ready to get in front of a camera and convince people or talk to people like that. So I haven't really promoted like Balls and Strikes is killing it. His name's Troy.
Troy's on the show this Saturday too.
Yeah, he's putting so much out there. I honestly hope he wins it just because he's trying. Like he's putting a lot of effort into it. I don't know. I'm not one to do all that quite yet. I need to work my way up there before I can really advertise myself like that. I'd rather just put pictures of snakes on my Instagram and hope people like them.
Gotcha. But,
yeah, but I mean, it was a pleasure talking to Chris and meeting all them, and I'm interested to see who wins, though.
Nice. Sure. Nice. Yeah. So, So before we let you get out of here, is there anything else you want to share? Tell people where to find you on social media and all that good stuff?
Yeah. So we're on, I mean, we're on the basics, the Facebook, Instagram, Morph Market. We don't really ever use Facebook. So if you're going to reach out to us, use Instagram. My phone number is in our Instagram profile if you want to reach out to me personally. But yeah, just I'm always down to have a conversation. So if anyone wants to reach out and call me or text me or talk to me, let me know.
For sure. Well, Brett, man, it's been a pleasure having you on the show, man.
Pleasure is mine.
Awesome man. Conversation, man.
For sure.
Cool. And we definitely have to get you back on for round two in the in the near future.
Definitely. We'll definitely have to grab dinner down in wherever show we meet first.
For sure. For sure. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, looking forward to it, man.
Yeah, respect.
And everyone in the chat, man, appreciate y'all coming out, showing love. Shout out to the audio only gang. Shout out to the replay gang. Y'all make sure y'all check this out, share it out. Make sure you go follow the sponsors. Make sure you like all this stuff. Make sure you buy some and tell them that we sent you. And definitely make sure you follow our guests, Jersey Guys, Balls. Y'all definitely go follow them everywhere. The links are in the description of the video. And this Saturday, we got Troy from Balls and Strikes. We're doing another bonus episode this awesome. Saturday.
He's and killing then,
it. Yeah, he's everywhere with it.
Yeah.
So definitely looking forward to that, man. So until we see you again, thank y'all for coming out. Be blessed. Peace.